Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, June 1st, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Gamertag Radio's Paris Lilly. Paris, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me, and this is quite the honor to be on here. I'm very excited for this, so thank you.
Yeah, it's super awesome to have you on. For people who don't know, who is Paris Lilly and what is Gamertag Radio?
Gamertag Radio is a long-running video game podcast started in 2005 by Danny Pena, a.k.a. Godfrey, so much love to him. Like I said, we just celebrated our 1,000th episode back in February.
And, congratulations.
Appreciate that. Thank you. And we cover video games, everything, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, PC, ColecoVision. It doesn't matter. We talk about video games, and we try to do it in a very fun and unique way.
Dude, that's super awesome. 1,000 episodes, that's crazy. Is Gamertag Radio like the oldest video game podcast? Do you guys have that honor?
Technically, no. I know there's a couple other podcasts that are still around. So shout out to like Orange Islands Radio as an example. They were around because, you know, back in those days when podcasting was brand new, I would search on gaming forums. And that's how I found Gamertag Radio. I was a listener. And then just I reached out to Godfrey one day when I wanted to get into podcasting. He helped me out a lot, and we became friends, and I joined them in 2013. And it's just been a great brotherhood ever since.
And if people want to listen to Gamertag, where can they find it?
Oh, we're everywhere. You can go to gamertagradio.com, obviously, and find our feed. But we're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. Again, if you want to go to the Vetrex media player, your favorite RSS feed, you'll find Gamertag Radio. We're everywhere.
Awesome. And of course, we've wanted to have you on the show for a while. But yeah, like things in the world kind of got crazy. I know GDC, yeah. We had plans. I think we had plans with Khalif and quite a few people. But it's been super weird lately. But this week especially, we wanted to have you on. Greg hit me up over the weekend and was like, hey, this week is crazy. Like there's stuff going on in the world. Everybody's aware. You know, a lot of injustice is happening, and we want to do our part in representing Black voices. And so Greg was like, "Hey, what if we had you host talking to me? What if we had you Blessing host every single day this week?" And just got on a bunch of Black voices throughout the week, and you were one of the first names he brought up, and I thought that was excellent. And so thank you for joining me. Of course, later this week people can expect people like Khalif Adams, and I'll. When we get to the end of the episode, I'll read the list because people are going to be hype to know what names we have coming through. But let me actually ask you this, because like I said, there's been a lot going on over the last week. How was your weekend?
It was rough. It's been a tough week, especially over this weekend. Thankfully, my family specifically, everyone is safe and well taken care of. But I'm just looking at what's going on in the world right now, and there's a lot of pain that's mm-hmm. happening, obviously, with the protests. And now we're seeing the looting. We go back earlier in the week to what happened with George Foster that started all of this. And it's just clear as a people, we need to come together. And obviously, there's been mm-hmm. hashtag Black Lives Matter, because Black Life does matter. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond just me as a Black man living in this world and everything that I've had to endure over the past 40 plus years. It goes to today. And something I saw on Twitter, which honestly brought me to tears, it was two Black men. One was in his 40s, one was in his 30s. And they were arguing about what to do. And then they brought up a 16-year-old kid as well. And it's like, he's the future. It's not about me. It's not about those two gentlemen that were arguing. The issue is we have to break this cycle that we're in right now, this cycle of just hate and not loving each other. Because I look at my kids, I have three kids, and I want them to not have to go through what I'm going through right now when they're my age. And that's the thing that we need to figure out, is how to break this cycle of hate and violence so we can all just come together as a people and just love each other. Bottom line.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I think the thing for me that like legit brought me to tears this weekend was on Friday, my friend Yousef Magid of Ubisoft, the homie, he made a tweet talking about Black Lives Matter. And there's been the Minnesota bail fund that people have been sharing around and donating to, which has been super awesome. And he made his tweet talking about how, like, yes, it's awesome that we're supporting the Minnesota Fund. We should also donate to international organizations like Black Lives Matter in order to kind of to spread the charity, spread the wealth, have more of a targeted approach as far as how we're donating and how we're giving, right? And I saw that and I was like, dude, that's great. That's an awesome idea. I'm gonna donate $30 to that. And I quote tweeted that with my $30 donation. And over the weekend, like in a way that I'd never like expect, the kind of funny community to show up, right? The kind of funny best friends, and Twitter at large, right? As far as like the people within our circles. So many people retweeted that, matching the donation, upping the donation, legit throughout the whole weekend, to a point where like it's still going on, right? Like I saw at least around like 100 tweets of people retweeting, donating, giving money to Black Lives Matter, and making their voices heard and making expressing themselves in a way that made me go like, wow, like I can't believe I'm seeing this happen. And a lot of that is the kind of funny community. And so I want to give a shout out to the kind of funny community for that. I tweeted this weekend and I'm echoing it today that the last weekend is the most proud I've been of this community. I've been part of the community since the channel launched, right? Since the name Kind of Funny was adopted, right? Back when it was youtube.com/GameOverGreggy and they changed it, right? Like I've been with the community since then. And to see the support that has been given over the last weekend for a cause that matters, right? It's been fucking crazy to see. And so shout out to everybody. Absolutely, absolutely love y'all. And yeah, let's get into the show. Of course, today's stories include the final batch of The Last of Us Part 2 previews, Xbox Series X being on track, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, the PS5 event is happening this Thursday. We'll be reacting to it live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 1 p.m. Pacific time with a post show discussing everything revealed. So don't miss it. Tune in for that. It's, of course, going to be a great time, or a terrible time if like nothing gets announced, but I don't expect it to happen. It's going to be a good time. Paris, are you looking forward to that PlayStation event?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very excited to finally see the full, I'm not sure it's not going to be the full reveal, but to actually see the PlayStation 5. That's what I'm expecting. So we can see the hardware and then just get the showcase of games that they're going to unveil. So it's a very exciting time. Next gen's getting ready to kick off.
Yeah, man. Is there a specific game you're looking forward to?
Horizon Zero
Dawn. Oh, yeah. You're in that camp, huh?
If that is at launch, I take my coin purse and just throw it at the screen and just please let me pre-order it so I can get a PlayStation 5. Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, no, same here. Of course, again, that's happening this Thursday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Also happening right after that is the great big Kind of Funny core stream. After the PS5 reveal event post show, Manicore Games will join us on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to announce the winners of the Kind of Funny Game Jam prizes. Andy and Greg will then hang out and play the winning games. You can enter now at kindoffunny.com/gamejam. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed Mohammed, Connor Nolan, and Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Warp Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
Bakers!
Starting with our number one, The Last of Us Part 2 final previews are finally up. Of course, PS Love You XOXO went up today. That's a day early because we did an episode that was focused on previewing The Last of Us Part 2. Of course, Greg has the game. Greg's been playing the game. And finally, because the preview embargo lifted today, he was able to talk about it, or talk about the specific section, a specific section in the game. It's the same section actually that was showed during that last PlayStation State of Play, where it is like Ellie infiltrating a building where she takes out a person playing a Vita. yeah, we got to talk about that on the show. So go to PSWXOXO on your podcast services or on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to hear Greg's preview of that. But for today, for Kind of Funny Games Daily, I pulled together quite a few snippets of previews from different sources. I'm going to start off with Simon Cardi at IGN, who writes this. In my time with The Last of Us Part II so far, I've discovered that if one thing is certain, it's violence. It doesn't want you to necessarily play it like a traditional stealth game as you ghost through the streets, but actively engage in the action and become a violent participant in its world. As I make my way through the park, I manage to isolate one enemy and grab them through the undergrowth. I then proceed to stab them in the neck as the camera hangs on both our strained facial expressions. My victim's eyelids poetically make their final few flutters next to the butterfly now tattooed on Ellie's forearm. There's no time to reflect, though. The multiple bodies hanging from street lamps serve as a good indicator as to why. I cautiously press on, keeping my ear to the ground and my finger on R1, as listening mode paints white enemy outlines onto my vision. As one approaches, I swiftly craft a silencer for my pistol using a rag and a canister in a familiar but more streamlined crafting menu that offers many more options than the first game, which directly influences your chosen playstyle. I then proceed to make my first mistake. I carefully aim at the oncomer's head and pull the trigger just after they make a sudden step to the left. Clearly alerted by the bullet that whizzed past their ear, they begin to look in my direction as the sound of Ellie's heartbeat intensifies and a droning tone gets louder, indicating I'm on the cusp of becoming exposed. Just before that moment, however, I manage to successfully hit them with my pistol as the splatter of the headshot brings a sudden end to the drone. The gunplay in Part 2 feels majorly improved on the previous game's efforts, with every pull of the trigger feeling hefty and purposeful. I'm then going to pull here from Edmund Tran at GameSpot, who writes, "The melee combat feels incredibly good, but it's hard not to wince when you slam a machete into a person's shoulder or take them down with a knife to the side of the head. The damage modeling is satisfying, but there's always going to be a shock when someone's head shatters from a rifle shot or someone's skin gets melted by a Molotov cocktail. And then when other enemy characters cry out the name of a guard dog you just exploded in front of them in disbelief, it's hard not to feel like a bad person. Whether this approach translates well to the rest of the game is something you'll have to wait until June 19th to discover." And then lastly, I'm going to pull from John Lindman of Digital Foundry. I know those two snippets that I just read had to do with like the violence and the depiction of it. Digital Foundry takes more of a technical approach here. "Preview coverage for this title is a little tricky. While we've played the game, what we can explicitly comment on is highly limited, and the only assets we can share from this slice of the game have already been shown on last week's State of Play. But what we can confidently share is that, put simply, The Last of Us Part II does not disappoint. From a technological standpoint, there's a clear path of progression from The Last of Us Remastered through the still stunning Uncharted 4 and often overlooked Lost Legacy, right up to this latest Naughty Dog showcase. However, just as The Last of Us saw the Naughty Dog engine evolve over the Nathan Drake titles on PS3, so we see a very different aesthetic in The Last of Us Part II, with the emphasis on indirect lighting again coming to the forefront. Joel and Ellie's story takes place in a world where most areas of the game are illuminated only by sun, with only select environments seeing any other form of lighting. The way light interacts with the rich geometry and the high-quality materials is first class, producing some beautiful but often bleak results. The sheer density is also remarkable. This is the world reclaimed by nature, and accurately portraying organic elements isn't easy, especially when the sheer amount of grass, foliage, and trees in any given scene. Paris, are you looking forward to The Last of Us Part II, first of all? Then how do these previews strike you?
Yes, I am. And I'll caveat that by saying I was spoiled on The Last of Us 2 with some of the things that leaked. And it lost a little bit of the luster, but that state of play absolutely re-energized me into wanting to play this day one. It was incredible. And as you're talking, going through these previews, just hearing the descriptions of what the gameplay is going to look like, what this world is going to be. I call the brutality, it's beautiful brutality is what, what I saw in that state of play, if that makes sense. And it excites me coming off of the original game and knowing that how incredible that story was and to seeing a continuation of that. Yeah, I'm excited, man. And if I can say just one last thing before we continue, it ironically enough, excites me even more for next gen, because look, this is on the PlayStation 4.
And
it's stunningly beautiful, the environments that Naughty Dog was able to create. And this is on the old hardware. So just imagine what they're going to be able to do when the new hardware drops later this year. So yeah, I'm very excited for The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, in terms of what we're getting from all these different previews, right? Like Simon Cardi from IGN and Edmund Tran are very much highlighting like the graphic nature of it and how the game very much kind of immerses you into all the fucked up stuff that's around in this world. Yes. And like that was the conversation that like came up on PS Love You that went up today. Like I asked Greg, I was like, hey, at any point does it feel like it's too violent? Because like from the state of play, right, like when Ellie grabs the girl holding the Vita, right, and then stabs her in the neck, and like you see like her like, you know, grab her neck and try to like, you know, keep the blood from flowing out, like there are like some very graphic scenes, right? And like they're describing them here in their article. But Greg also made the point of like, yeah, I think a big part of that is like, along with the world of Last of Us being a violent world, the technology is just getting to a point where like, you know, like when you look at Naughty Dog as a studio, what they do well a lot of the time is animation and like, yeah, is like the ways in which the characters move, the ways in which like if every movement from the characters feel natural, right, along with like the like high fidelity on the character models. And so like I'm playing through The Last of Us right now, and I'm about halfway, and I've had some violent scenes come through where it is like stabbing, and it is like when you get like your bat weapon and you can add like a shift to it to make it so that like you get like the one hit, yeah, kill. Like every time I do that, I'm like, okay, yeah, like that's super violent, but this is like PS3 era violent, which doesn't feel like it's anything crazy. But yeah, now like we're looking at the power of the PS4 toward the very end of the generation, and it's like, dude, fuck, like, yeah, people are really getting stabbed. Like people aren't just getting stabbed; people are getting stabbed.
The one scene in the state of the play that really had me excited, and I was live streaming, and I was just jumping up and down during the live stream is. And I call her Vita Girl. I don't know what you want to call her, but when Ellie has Vita Girl and has the knife to her neck, like you said, the animations, like she was emoting fear. Like,
oh, yeah.
I could see the fear on her face of what was about to happen. And then, you know, the encounter happened, and then she thought she had the upper hand, and Ellie wound up killing her. But the point was, look at how far the technology has come. And they're able to do this now at the end of the generation with the PlayStation 4. And it's so exciting. And then, even when you were talking more about just the violence of this world and is it too much, I don't think so. I'm very happy that Naughty Dog is able to treat us like adults and understand that we know this isn't real life, and to show the brutality of this world for what it really would be in this type of situation. So yeah, it looks outstanding. Sure, I got a little bit of it spoiled. It's not going to hurt my experience at all, I think. So yeah, day one, I'll be picking it up and playing it.
Yeah, and to the point you were making earlier too, I can't wait for what the PS5 version of this game looks like. Because you imagine that's going to be a marketing point for them. Oh, might, man, not, yeah, be this week during the PS5 presentation, because I assume they still want all gears toward the PS4 version of The Last of Us Part 2. But down the line, maybe at the end of the summer, maybe toward the lead up to the actual release of the PS5, you imagine there are going to be trailers for the PS5 with The Last of Us Part 2 being a part of it, and probably Ghost of Tsushima being a part of it. And I wonder what those improvements look like given the new platform. I'm very curious to see also, like, when we get the game on PS4, are there going to be any like technical limitations that are evident, you know, by the PS4? I know quite a few games lately, you look at Control, you look at I want to say Jedi Fallen Order, but I think that was just mainly like them not being able to finish developing that to the point that they probably wanted to as a studio. But I feel like there are quite a few games now that we've gotten toward the end of the generation where it's like, okay, yeah, this game is starting to feel, or these games are kind of framey. These games seem like they're pushing the technology to a point that it can't handle. Naughty Dog, you know, building the game up. I mean, building the game from the ground up for the PS4, I don't necessarily expect to see issues anywhere near the levels of Control or even like Jedi Fallen Order or anything like that. But I'm curious to see, like, as we're playing it, I wonder if there are points where we're like, that texture could look a little bit sharper. Right. But obviously the PS4 can't do that at this point. I wonder then, like, if the PS5 version of this game will be like a definitive version of The Last of Us Part Two.
I would expect so. You know, like you said, I'm sure they're not going to talk about that stuff right now, but down the road, you have these two huge games at the end of the PlayStation 4 life that you can bring over to PlayStation 5 with enhanced versions and really, you know, showcase them to their full fidelity. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
Head to PSLVUXOXO. Me and Greg talk about this game for, like, I think, probably like an hour. For probably like most of the episode, we're talking about The Last of Us Part 2 and previewing it. So go check that out if you want to learn and hear more. Story number two. Xbox Series X is on track for a worldwide launch this holiday. This comes from James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz. And this is also coming after, I believe it was last week, where we heard the same exact thing from PlayStation, from Jim Ryan. And so I'm pulling this from James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz. Head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, has reiterated that Xbox Series X is still on course for a global launch this Christmas, despite the disruption caused by COVID-19. Speaking on Talking Games with Reggie and Harold, a podcast co-hosted by former Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils-Aimé, Spencer said that the platform holder is unlikely to delay its next-generation console into 2021. He said the company just completed its latest hardware review last week and feel good about the supply chain required to launch the console. Quote, "It feels like we'll be able to get enough units," he said. "We're pretty committed, as we've talked about, to a worldwide launch, which regretfully we didn't do with Xbox One. It took us months and months to hit some of the incredibly important markets. Worldwide launch is important to us," end quote. Spencer previously stressed the importance of a worldwide launch and expressed regrets over the staggered rollout of the Xbox One on another podcast earlier this year. Paris, do you buy it?
Yeah, I do buy it. And I'm going to do a shameless plug right now. On our episode 1000 of Gamertag Radio, we had Phil Spencer on and we got to talk to him. And I pretty much asked him this question because I focused it on Japan and some of the mistakes that they made over, you know, over the history of Xbox in Japan.
Is that the podcast they're referencing in this story? Is your episode one?
It might be. Look, hey, it might be.
I remember talking about this earlier in the year, and I think we might have been talking about your podcast.
Yeah. But he admitted the mistakes that they made in Japan, and it really goes into them doing the staggered launch and not launching everything globally at the same time. And like I said, he used Japan as the example. And yeah, it just makes sense with the Series X. If they're going to be on time with the hardware and COVID didn't stop production, yeah, get everything out to the world all at once. The hardware, obviously, they've committed to some of their services like Game Pass being, you know, ready globally, X Cloud, things like that. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it. Again, I just love gaming, period. So it doesn't matter if it's Xbox or PlayStation. So yeah, it's good to see that Xbox is going to be ready to go with whatever their lineup's going to be as far as games. And then obviously the hardware is going to be available this holiday as well.
Do you think they have a chance to actually make waves and make ripples in Japan? Like, I know, like, Xbox historically hasn't had the best Japanese presence when it comes to actually selling consoles in Japan. Do you think a worldwide launch, you know, might help towards actually fixing things? Or do you just think, like, it's just not the market for the Xbox?
I'm going to be bluntly honest and say I don't think so. I really don't. I know they're going to make the effort, and that's what you have to do. But Japan is such a fickle market. And for Xbox to try and basically come in at this late stage of the life of the system, and I knew my dog was going to bark while I was on there, but that's okay.
It's a good one.
It's going to take the games. They're going to have games that cater to a Japanese market that people are going to want to play. And then obviously they're going to have to leverage, you know, their services like Game Pass and Project X Cloud along with the hardware to give Japanese gamers an incentive to want to try their product. But it all starts with the game. So, I mean, I really hope when July gets here, they have a showcase that caters to a Japanese audience. And I know there's been all these weird rumors about maybe they have a partnership with Sega or something.
Yeah,
like
I was gonna bring those up because, like, the rumor I saw this weekend, which is absolutely bonkers, and I don't believe it for a second, but I fucking love the idea that this is a rumor, is that, yeah, like, there's some sort of partnership going on between Microsoft and Sega, and in Japan they would release the Xbox Series X as the Sega Series X, which, again, fucking never happening, but I just love the idea. I love how I just love the idea of that happening. Like, that'd be fucking hilarious, but also, like, really like a cool kind of comeback as far as like Sega is concerned as a console.
It feel, and I'm old, so this feels like something you would have done in like the mid 80s, you know, when like Atari and Coleco and all that stuff was around, where you say, hey, foreign market, I know you don't like it, this label, so we'll just use one of your labels but sell you the same thing. No one's going to buy that. So yeah, that's what a crazy rumor that it's fun to speculate on, but there's no way Microsoft and Sega are going to partner to do something like that. Now, I could say, because we speculate about the Sega stuff all the time, I could see some kind of strategic partnership with Sega where maybe some of their back catalog winds up,
for sure,
comes to Game Pass, as an example, which again...
Oh, yeah. I mean, Yakuza, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. So that makes sense to me. But yeah, rebranding the Xbox as Sega in Japan, no way. They're not going to do that.
Yeah. If that did happen, that'd be fucking hilarious. And I'd be all about it, just from how ridiculous it would be. But yeah, like, we're at a point now where, you know, you talk about like it happening in the 80s, right? And like that it feels more appropriate for that time. Nowadays, right, we feel... We're way more global in terms of, you know, how we're able to communicate and how we're able to like we know what goes on in Japan. Japan knows what goes on overseas. Like, you're not fooling anybody by changing a name from Xbox to Sega. And I think both Microsoft and Sega know that, which is why they probably wouldn't even consider this. But once again, fucking hilarious rumor. I'm all about it. I'm all about it. Story number three. Could we be getting Prey VR? I'm pulling this from Jordan Olliman at IGN, who writes, a listing for an unannounced Prey VR has been found on the website of UK retailer Shopto. The page, which was seemingly taken down after being discovered, suggests that the game would be exclusive to PSVR. Following the original link to the listing now results in a 404, but Twitter user Nibelian managed to grab a screenshot prior to its deletion. If the listing wasn't made in error, it's currently unclear what form the supposed game would take. Bethesda has a prolific recent history with VR games, previously porting VR versions of its tentpole games such as Doom VFR, Fallout 4 VR, and Skyrim VR. It may well be that Arkane's Prey is getting a similar treatment. Prey has already had a VR outing in the form of Typhon Hunter, a PC/PSVR spinoff from the main game, where you can solve puzzles inside of VR escape rooms and enjoy a multiplayer game mode similar to Prop Hunt from Garry's Mod, where players can mimic inanimate objects. This Shopto listing appears to be distinct from Typhon Hunter, however, which has stoked a lot of interest from fans of the base game. Paris, is Prey your jam at all? Are you into Prey?
A little. I mean, I haven't been a huge fan of it, but I have played like the last game that came out, and it was enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I think a VR version of that coming out would be ideal. It would definitely help stoke the fires of getting more adoption into VR, for sure.
Yeah, I wonder what their strategy would be here too. Like, I feel like out of all of Bethesda's library, especially like if you look at Arkane games, I would have thought that like Dishonored might have been the go-to. And I wonder if that's just like a gameplay thing, because Dishonored has you teleporting all over the place, and I know like that, well, actually no, now that I think about it, I feel like that would work especially for VR. I was gonna say that might be too much, but that's actually how a lot of VR games that's actually the method a lot of VR games use for movement in general. And so yeah, I'm gonna stick to that. I think Dishonored probably would have been Dishonored could be a great adaptation for VR, which makes me wonder like why they go the Prey route, or if it's just like one of those things where they might want to boost the name of Prey, because Prey didn't necessarily come out and be light the world on fire when it came out, right? Like, it didn't really have that big breakthrough that a lot of other Bethesda games have. What's your belief level in this? Do you think that this assures we're going to get Prey VR?
I think there's definitely some believability to this. It wouldn't be shocking. It makes a lot of sense, because if I can say this really quick. So I've really not experienced VR, because I've always been a stickler that I'm going to wait until VR 2.0. So I never got a PlayStation VR, really adopted any of the early stuff. And I saw a game like Half-Life Alyx, and I go, that's it. That's the game. This is now VR 2.0. This is something I want to adopt. So I was fully committed to getting a Valve Index and getting Half-Life Alyx. And then obviously COVID happened, and I said, maybe it's not smart for me to spend this money right now. So I've held off, but I think Half-Life Alyx is the catalyst that's going to get more companies to say, okay, we need to invest more in VR. Obviously, I'm assuming PlayStation 5 is going to have some type of PSVR 2.0 coming out. So I do think this is true, because I do think publishers like Bethesda and others are going to look at this and go, okay, what titles can we take and basically convert it into a VR experience and have it ready for all the new people that are going to be hungry for more VR experiences that picked up Half-Life.
Yeah, I mean, it lines up with their history, right? Like the article highlights the fact that Doom VFR is a thing, Fallout 4 VR is a thing, Skyrim VR came out. Like, Bethesda's never shied away from interacting with VR. I don't think we've gotten like a very recent VR game from Bethesda, and so like I think it's a little bit surprising to see this popping up out of nowhere. But you know, like I'm curious to see what form this takes, because even though I say that like Prey wasn't a breakout success, Prey still does have like that cult following and that cult audience that really love that game. And so, yeah, like I'm curious to see what form this takes, if it is indeed true. Story number 4, and this is our last news story of the day. Pokemon Sword and Shield news is coming tomorrow. This is from Joe Scrabbles at IGN. We'll get more details on Pokemon Sword and Shield's expansion pass tomorrow, June 2nd at 6 a.m. Pacific. Revealed in a tweet by the Japanese Pokemon Twitter account, no details were given of what could be revealed. However, with the first expansion for the latest Pokemon games, the Isle of Armor, due to arrive by the end of June, it seems likely we get a release date. The Pokemon Sword and Shield expansions will include the Isle of Armor and the Crown Tundra due this fall, and each will add a new open area to explore. They'll also add a new legendary Pokemon, new regular Pokemon, new Galarian forms, and dozens of returning Pokemon that were previously unavailable to catch. Paris, are you a Pokemon person at all? Did you play Sword and Shield?
I am not, but my kids are, so they will be super excited for this. They will be all over this, so this is great news to see this is coming.
Awesome. Do you plan to get the DLC for your kids? Are they like clamoring for it?
Yeah, they'll really, they'll be bugging me to get it. Oh yes, yes. 100% that's happening.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to this. As somebody who played Sword and Shield at launch and kind of fell off of it super quickly, I think the thing that kept me from sticking with the game was the fact that like the post story content didn't necessarily feel aimed towards me. Like all the wild area stuff didn't really appeal to me. The Gigantamax stuff didn't really appeal to me. Like a lot of those things felt like they're aimed towards like a more hardcore fan base. And so, you know, with this including new story content and also, well, with Isle of Armor including new story content, we haven't gotten confirmation yet that tomorrow is going to be Isle of Armor. But with the DLC plans seeming to be actual content that appeals to me, as far as the new Galarian forms and the new Pokemon being added overall and a new legendary Pokemon, I'm all about it. I'm curious to see what we get tomorrow. I imagine it is just going to be more clarification on the Olive Armor and probably more of a deep dive into the Crown Tundra, which is coming out this fall. And so if that's the case, cool. I'm looking forward to it. Sounds dope. Paris, I'm very excited to see what the future of Pokemon is and what this DLC might hold. But tomorrow is so far away. If I want to know what's coming to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
Well, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Do Not Feed the Monkeys for Switch. Which, Kevin, I haven't asked you to do this in a hot minute. Can you look up Do Not Feed the Monkeys for Switch? Because I'm very curious on what that might be. Thank you. I appreciate it. We also got Star Runner for PC, Deep Sea for PC, Box Voyage for PC, Hearts Island for PC, Fear of the Dark for PC, Space Simulation Toolkit for PC, and Apoc Runner for PC, all out today. New dates, Baldur's Gate 3 news will be dropping throughout the month of June, starting June 6th on the hashtag Guerrilla Collective Showcase. That's happening the June 6th. Remember, Guerrilla Collective partnering with Kinda Funny and the Kinda Funny Game Showcase to reveal games, so tune in for that. Kevin, how are we looking? Do Not Feed the Monkeys for Switch.
I'm almost there. Give me one more minute. This doesn't look right.
Give me... Wait, really? What you're looking up?
Let's see.
While we're here, Paris, have you played or are you into Baldur's Gate at all?
Back in the day, I was. I've kept my eye on Baldur's Gate 3 coming out. So, yeah, well, once we get more information on it, I will look forward to it. Give that a peek. Yeah.
Kevin, is this it?
I believe so.
And we're looking at Do Not Feed the Monkeys on Switch. I can't tell what this is.
Adventure game?
Maybe. Like, it's just like a bunch of like okay, so we're looking at the trailer, and the trailer is just like a bunch of different images, and it looks like you're looking at a desktop with like a lot of pixel art going on. Yeah, it seems like it's adventure game-ish. Oh.
Got a little graphic there, huh?
Yeah, they got a little bit graphic there.
Let's not talk about it anymore.
All right, great. All right, Kevin, you can put this away. Do Not Feed the Monkeys. If you're curious about that, that's on Switch. It's out today. There you go. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Brooklinen. Did you know that making small changes to your everyday life can lead to huge positive changes to your lifestyle? The right towel turns a bathroom into a spa. The right loungewear turns a function into a luxury. And the right bedding turns a bed into a retreat. You know Brooklinen as the internet's favorite sheets, but they're also home to bedding, loungewear, towels, and more with over 50,000 plus five-star reviews and counting. Kind of Funny loves Brooklinen. They are luxury products at a low price. And Tim loves that he can get the right colors to match his room. He also says that they're comfortable and you can always trust Tim Geddes of Kind of Funny. Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. All luxury products without the luxury markup, brooklinen.com is the perfect place to start making small changes that make big differences. Brooklinen is so confident in their products that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Get 10% off with your first order and use the promo code GAMES only at brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Paris.
Yes.
Patrick Higgins writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "Hey guys, with all that's going on across the country and with EA canceling its Madden event in response, I'm curious as to whether you guys think Sony will/should push its PS5 event on Thursday. I noticed Blessing said on PS I Love You that knowing the event was coming gave him something to look forward to. I think I feel the same. But has that changed at all since Friday? Thanks for all you do and hope everyone is keeping safe. Patrick Higgins." Paris. Do you think that there's a chance, or do you think that they even should push the PS5 event that's happening on Thursday?
I do not. And I think more than ever now, we need an event like that to try and give people a happy distraction from the things that's going on in the world and allow us to come together and celebrate something we all love, which is gaming, right? So absolutely, I want to see the PlayStation 5 reveal stay on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, and so we can all watch it and see what they have to show. I think pushing it back just, you know, it's just going to bum people out even more. So I'd rather them stay the course and keep it where it is.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I'm pulling up a Twitter, the Twitter account. Stick with me at Hot Girl Videos 69. Now, we've talked about this Twitter account on the show before because Hot Girl 69 on Twitter has broken like fucking scoops, like video game scoops, because apparently they got like the insider information. There's a Vice Games article written about them. They're fairly legit. They tweeted this out yesterday, and I'm trying to find it because they talked about the PlayStation event. Give me 1 second. As I scroll through, let's see. Oh, I'm looking at a tweet from her here that says, "Unless something crazier happens, that hashtag PS5 event is still on. Will happen this Thursday." Da da da. She tweeted that 9 minutes ago. She had a tweet earlier that was essentially, oh, I think I'm looking at it right now. She tweeted, "Just told from a somewhat reliable source. not a dude that pays me to humiliate him, that it's more likely than now that Sony will reschedule the PS5 reveal if protests are quite active in the beginning of the week. Also, not just because Sony is aware of the obvious optics, but some of the games from some publishers that will be revealed may end up being problematic looking in light of current events, unless trailers and gameplay for those items are cut or recut, shown slash talked about differently. And again, all that with a grain of salt. I'm reading from a Twitter account called HotGirlVideo69. but you know, I think that's an interesting tidbit to pull into this conversation, because I don't think at this point, I don't think they're pushing. I think given the state of the world over the last 6 months, any time to reveal the PlayStation 5 is probably going to be a terrible time. Like, I don't think there's a such good thing as good timing this year at this point. And so, like, you imagine they've already had to adjust plans and switch things up because of COVID-19. And now that protests are happening, like, you know, it's one of those things where it fucking sucks that you have to figure out how to announce things during this time. But I think at a certain point, you just go like, hey, we can push it to next week. But next week, like, this is still going to be happening. Next week, COVID's still going to be a thing. Like, let's just shit or get off the pot, right? And I imagine that's kind of where the conversation is. That said, I could see a case where if what Hot Girl Video 69 here is saying, if there is like a trailer in there that is like, I don't know, like some sort of revolution kind of thing, or it is like a protest, like riot kind of like focused trailer, maybe like there's like a Watch Dogs Legion thing in there that is cut in a certain way that kind of makes it appear kind of weird right now, I could see that being recut or being maybe cut entirely from the show. I don't know. But I think that's kind of what you're going to get at most. And I, like, to what I said on PS Love You also, like, you know, I think, and also to what Paris is saying, I think people could use this, right? I think people could use some sort of distraction, some sort of like thing to look forward to. And so, yeah, I think it's still on. The Devmeister writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, so we've had Paper Mario announced for the next big Nintendo first party game, and I'm stoked. Microsoft and Sony have their new console slowly unveiling, but what do you think Nintendo's major E3 style reveal for holiday 2020 is going to be? Paris.
That is such a fascinating question.
Yeah.
Because I have no clue what Nintendo is going to do and how they're going to present it. I can say selfishly, I hope the rumored Mario, was it 35th anniversary collection, is real. And I hope Mario Galaxy is in it, because I'm dying to be able to play that on my Switch. But yeah, it's fascinating, because is Nintendo going to like not try to quote unquote compete with PlayStation 5 and Series X and their launch lineups and kind of have a subdued holiday this year? Or do they have a big release that they're sitting on that we just have no clue about, and they'll have their own Nintendo Direct to show it? No idea. Absolutely no idea, other than the rumors.
We got in reports that Nintendo isn't showing anything in Nintendo's not having a Direct in June and in July, according to reports that we've gotten. Which tells me that, yeah, like, Paper Mario is their next thing to look forward to, right? At the beginning of this year, that was Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing was like the only thing that they had on the slate. Now that Animal Crossing's out, you announce Paper Mario. All right, that's the thing that you can look forward to. I think we're at the point now where, yeah, we might have to wait until Paper Mario comes out for Nintendo to point us to the next thing.
Yep.
Which I think is unfortunate. I think that's just a sign of, like, overall this year for Nintendo has just been kind of a wash as far as like where their games lineup is. Like, I think, I don't know if they knew this towards the beginning of the year, or if COVID maybe came into play and then fucked up their pipeline, but it very much seems to me that, like, yeah, towards the beginning, the year was already looking weak, and now that we're approaching, now that we're literally in June, right, and approaching the summer, and getting further into the year, I feel like they have to have some sort of fall game. Like, they could get away with not having a fall game, but if they don't, that's a huge bummer. Like, that's a huge bummer. And I imagine the thinking there might be, hey, Xbox Series X and PS5 are coming out. Let's have those consoles have the noise and make all the noise, and let's not try to interfere with that. If that's the case, you know, once again, I think that's a bummer. I think I'm I could very well see the Mario collection being the thing that comes out this fall that holds the flag for Nintendo. And like, I'm trying to think of what else. I know Mario Golf was rumored, which isn't really a huge title by any means, but could be a great like August game, maybe a September game. Let it hold that Luigi's Mansion time period. I'm very curious. I'm very curious. Do you have like a dream game that you'd be looking for, that you want from Nintendo for them to announce, let's say in August?
Yes.
For the fall?
Super Mario Galaxy 3.
Oh my God.
I'm such a simple person when it comes to that. I just love those games. While Odyssey was great, I loved Odyssey. I would love to see a true Galaxy game come out on Switch. So
do you like Galaxy more so than Odyssey?
Yes. Yeah, I did. And again, nothing. I thought Odyssey was too easy. A little, you know what I mean? I felt like it didn't challenge me enough, where I thought Galaxy challenged me more. And I'll just say, if this Mario pack is true, I will go revisit Sunshine, because I did not like Sunshine at the time. And maybe I just need to give it another look, because I see so many people say they love Mario Sunshine, but I just remember at the time I didn't get it. And I think I stopped halfway through and never finished.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you as far as you know, Mario is one of my favorite franchises. I fucking love Mario. I've never played through Sunshine. Like I've touched Sunshine a little bit, but I've actually never like played through it, because growing up I never owned a GameCube. And so I have like this gap of like Nintendo experience from the GameCube era. And so if this 3D collection ends up having Sunshine, like 64 Sunshine Galaxy, I'm definitely going to play through Sunshine for the first time, cuz that'd be awesome. What do you think is more likely that we get as far as like a next 3D Mario? Like, do you think they would go back to Galaxy 3, or do you think we'll likely get Odyssey 2?
Yeah, I think Odyssey 2 is more realistic. Again, it was a great game. I mean, it was a game of the year contender. I'm not saying it's bad at all. I really enjoyed it. So I would just see them keeping that momentum going. Maybe if I give a suggestion, just up the challenge just a tad. But just other than tad. That, yeah, it was good.
Now it's time to squad up. The Devmeister, Devin, wrote in with a squad up on Switch and says, "Hey guys, this is a desperate plea for help in Animal Crossing. My friends and family circle doesn't really game, and I only know a few people that have Animal Crossing, and I'm not on Twitter. So unfortunately, I'm completely shuttered from this broken economy everyone so easily takes advantage of and profits heavily. The stock market is terrible on my island, and I've had to sell turnips at a loss 3 weeks in a row now. I'm struggling to make bells and need KFBFs to help me share turnips prices and islands. If you're still playing, add me and help. Thanks." And of course, their Switch friend code will be in the YouTube video description. But for me to read it out loud here, the Switch code goes as follows: 8247-7649-7098. Nintendo, let us have usernames. It's time. It's ridiculous that I have to read friend codes, and nobody ever memorizes their friend code, and so that's always a hassle. Now it's time. Well, actually, before I get to you're wrong, because we have time in this episode, we have time to kill. Paris, we're here. Of course, kind of funny this week. We want to highlight Black voices. Of course, we talked about it toward the beginning of the show, and Greg has a great tweet on it where he talks about the fact that, as kind of funny, right, we have a platform. We want to use that platform for good. We want to highlight Black voices in the gaming community. I'm putting you on the spot, Paris, and this is going to be one of the rotating segments of the show. I'm adding one in. Paris, who is a Black voice in the video games industry that you admire and that you think deserves love?
Yeah, you put me on the spot, because I almost don't want to put it down to one person, because I think there's so many amazing people out there. But I am going to, since you asked an individual, I'm going to get an individual, and it looks like you're going to have this individual on tomorrow, and that's Khalif Adams. That's Khalif Adams over at Spawn on Me. I'm going to say him specifically, because he's been such a beacon of light in the gaming community, and he's done such great work with Spawn on Me to kind of highlight the discussions that we have had to have this week and this weekend about Black Lives Matters and just social injustice and everything that's going on in the world. So I think if anyone could use the signal boost to get the word out there. It is Spawn on Me and it is Khalif Adams. So him more than anyone, I would say, I would love to see more people get some eyeballs on his work and understand the good that he's doing in the world.
Yeah, I echo that 100%. And of course, we were going to be able to listen to Khalif Adams. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. But both me and you, we were on Spawn on Me last week to talk about everything going on, right? To talk about George Floyd, to talk about the protests, to talk about even Amy Cooper and like all the things going on, right? And it was a very, very real, very raw discussion.
Yes.
One that like, even like the night after the morning after having that discussion, I woke up feeling like I had just had a feeling like I had a hangover, right? And I hadn't drank anything the night before. It was just one of those things where, like, you know, the day or that night talking it through, right, was very refreshing and very like raw. And yeah, like it was just one of those things where by the time I logged off, it felt like going through a journey. It felt like going through a lot. I highly recommend people go listen to that. Of course, Spawn on Me's Twitch is twitch.tv/SpawnOnMe. I'm sure you can find the podcast feed if you just look up Spawn on Me on any of your podcast platforms. And yeah, Khalif is doing great work. And also, like, as an extra shout out to Khalif, right? When I first started making content, when I first actually started OK Beast in like 2016, it was probably about a year in, right, where I was still early into making content. Khalif was one of the first people I remember, like first people in the industry that like hit me up and was like, "Hey, like I see what you're doing." Like, you know, he boosted me up. He retweeted my video essays that I was doing. Khalif showed an enormous amount of support, and he was like one of the earliest people to that. As far as like noticing my content and wanting to highlight and showcase me, despite me being like, you know, a dude who's brand new into making content at the time. And so, yeah, shout out to Khalif Adams. Everybody should go follow him at Kajakins on Twitter. Maybe type in Khalif Adams. He'll pop up if you can't spell Kajakins.
Look up nasty oven ribs. He pops right up. Is a picture of him holding some burnt, greasy oven ribs right there on the front page. That's all.
If you open the dictionary and look up nasty ribs, Khalif Adams' face actually pops up. It's crazy. It's wild how that works. Dictionary.com. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it, as we get it wrong. Let's see here. Charles Jacobson says, the latest Bethesda VR title was Wolfenstein Cyberpilot, which launched on July 25th, 2019. Wow, I didn't realize that was so recent. I thought that was 2018. So there you go. Bethesda still churning out them VR titles. Thank you for that. Let's see here. Oh, Frankfurter talking about the monkey game we showed earlier. Hold on. Do not feed the monkeys. Frankfurter writes in and says, basically, you're a bunch of scientific monkeys spying on humans and studying them. It's an odd game. So there you go. Looking through, you're wrong. ACAB writes in and says, you said the PlayStation event was at 2. It's at 1 p.m. So there you go. It's happening at 1 p.m. I thought I said 1 p.m. If I said 2, I apologize. That is happening at 1 p.m. on Thursday Pacific time. So there you go. This week's hosts go like this. Tomorrow, it's me and Khalif Adams, a spot of me. And in parentheses, I guess Greg added this. He says, who makes great ribs in the oven?
Yes, I saw that.
And so
that's
I don't know who to believe here.
That's why I don't know.
I'm going to be honest. I was talking shit earlier. I've never had Khalif's ribs. And so, like, I can't be a judge. But yeah, according to Paris, they're terrible. According to Greg, they're great. And so, like, I don't know what to tell you. Wednesday, it's Gabe from Married to the Games is joining me. So tune in for that. Thursday, this one is exciting, y'all. Thursday, the commish and WWE superstar Xavier Woods is joining the show. Which is absolutely hype. So tune in for that. That's happening this Thursday. And then Friday is Khalif Adams again. From Spawn on Me, he's back to dig into the PS5 news. Paris, thank you again for joining me. Again, plug your stuff so that people know where to find you.
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at Vicious696. I'm rambling about everything. There's links to all the stuff that I do in my profile, but I'm also part of Gamertag Radio. You can find us over at gamertagradio.com. Obviously, links to your favorite RSS feed, Spotify, etc., to download our audio podcast. And I will selfishly also say, please check out my YouTube channel. I hate the URL and YouTube won't let me change it. But if you go to my Twitter account, you can find the URL, or you can just search my name in YouTube, Paris, P-A-R-R-I-S. I am a huge Cyberpunk 2077 fan. So
yeah, you are.
Yeah. So when Night City Wire drops on June 11th, I'm planning to do a live stream. So anyone, I'm sure you guys are going to do one too. But if anyone wants to join me and see me screaming for an hour, there you go. You can come join me and we can watch Cyberpunk together.
Awesome. And of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the dirty news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the server level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.